Go ahead and hit
record. All right, welcome to Geeks of the Square Table. I'm your host, Lawrence America. This is episode 91.
It was a good year. It was a good year.
You don't remember. You were born then, weren't you?
A year later.
A year later, okay.
Yeah.
He's a youngin', folks.
I mean, a year before. A year before.
A year before?
Yeah, I was born in 90.
All right. Okay. Now that piece of relevant information has been
brought
first, we were just talking about how the new Spider-Man book's not going to have any descriptors on it. No amazing, no uncanny, no all new, no different. No point Marvel now.
Well, there's two Spider-Man books.
Or spectacular, or...
Yeah. And I'm sure the Peter Parker book is going to be Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Yeah,
because it's going to be about him not really being Spider-Man. More him helping the new Spider-Man out.
Or, I mean, watch him not even...
There's a lot of talk he gets the black suit after this. And then he'll be... Yeah. And then he's going to be all about his daughter and his wife. And,
but
helping out when he can.
But then some shit's probably going to come up.
Yeah. He's supposed to be the mentor for the new Spider-Man.
Right. Are we talking black suit, like, symbiote?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the black suit or the one that he just made, or it's going to be the symbiote.
Yeah, because if it's symbiote, there's no way he ain't doing something bad.
All I know is Peter Parker is not going to be the regular Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's just going to be the mentor for the new regular Spider-Man, which is Miles Morales, the black Hispanic Spider-Man of the Ultimate Universe, who is now just going to be Spider-Man with no adjectives added in the nastiest font you've ever seen.
Is this going... The Spider-Man Renew Your Vows, Peter Parker?
Now, there's a lot of talk that Renew Your Vows, Peter Parker, is going to be the new 616, Peter Parker. And Miles Morales is going to be Spider-Man because Renew Your Vows, Peter Parker, gives up being Spider-Man to protect his wife and his daughter. He realizes being Spider-Man puts them in harm's way too much. In fact, in the Renew Your Vows alternate universe, Peter Parker misses out on joining the Avengers because of it.
Yeah, as opposed to give his identity up.
Yeah, exactly. As opposed to our Peter Parker in the 616, who, while married to MJ, joins the Avengers only to have it ruin his marriage. So, I thought that was interesting. And you know, maybe that is the best idea, is letting Peter Parker finally get married to MJ and have a kid, and somebody else be Spider-Man for a while.
Well, I mean, it's a good way they can have their cake and eat it, too. It's a new... Like, this has been a popular one. It's...
Yeah, it's not like Miles Morales is nobody. He's not a clone.
I mean, you can still have Miles Morales.
Yeah, and Peter Parker. And they know each other. They've already established that these two people have met.
Yeah, because...
There's that crossover, Spider-Men, where Ultimate Spider-Man Miles Morales met... The 616 Peter Parker. Not even the Ultimate Peter Parker.
Yeah, and actually in
Secret Wars
so far they already...
They've reestablished their relationship.
Yeah.
Now, but the Renew Your Vows Peter Parker isn't the 616
No, it's
Peter
not
Parker.
The 616 Peter Parker. But another little hint at why that might be the new status quo is the regular Peter Parker, a 616 writer, is writing that book, Dan Slott. Who, ironically, is the whole reason Peter Parker never stayed married to MJ. Because, brand new day. Dan Slott, why? For those who don't know, Dan Slott wrote a story right after Peter Parker had gotten married to MJ, where Aunt May died. And it drove Peter to start using the black suit again. And he kind of got a little vengeful. And MJ realized him not having Aunt May in his life was making him not the Peter she knew. So... Like all good story writers, Dan Slott had her make a deal with the devil where she gave up her existence to let Aunt May live so Peter would never be like that again. So, their marriage ended. She went to the other side of the planet. He got Aunt May back. And 20 years worth of comic books were just written out right there on a page. So they never got married. They were never going to have a kid.
Hate you, Dan Slott.
Hate you, Dan. It was just... Really, the deal with the devil makes it so unnecessary. It's not like she left him and he got to be Spider-Man again. It's she made a deal with the devil to bring Aunt May back and lose their relationship in the process.
Also, I just don't like Dan Slott.
I don't mind Dan Slott.
Well, Jesse that's why you have reason. To give up something.
Yes, and she gave up their relationship.
Yeah, and of course... This one, is totally different. Yeah,
totally different.
There was Aunt May never died in this.
Yeah, Aunt May never dies in this.
Yeah, so
the deal
it is
never
a
goes
totally
down.
Different But, you know, it totally different, never happened type situation.
It's a Spider-Man story you want.
Place,
yes.
You know, so it's a character that still feels familiar to a lot of people. And
saying all that, Dan Slott was at one point writing Peter Parker being married, and it made sense. And I'm sure Marvel editorial was like, you know, this is how we lost Gwen Stacy. Was like, we thought Spider-Man married is just never going to work. And so they did it again. Less dramatic than killing Gwen Stacy. Killing Gwen Stacy was extremely dramatic. And has never recovered from that moment, as far as...
Now, is the Renew Your Vows Spider-Man, is MJ his second marriage or his first marriage?
No, they haven't established that yet, so I'm not sure.
It's only in the
it's
first
only the
issue.
First,
so.
The first issue was a double size, which
yeah.
is nice.
But so, really, so. It's... We're still kind of in the dark about a lot of things on...
Because, you know, I mean, the movie-only audience only knows MJ as the girl next door or whatever.
Right. Comic book readers, we know MJ as the second girl.
Yeah. And yeah, Gwen
not
Stacy,
the girl
next door. Yeah, was actually the first girl, even though in the movie viewers know her as the second girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Gwen Stacy... A different alternate Gwen Stacy is back.
Yes, and is Spider-Man. And the book is doing well. Enough that they've decided it's going to retain after Secret Wars. It's one of the few things to spin out that last gasp of all new, all now Marvel before all different kicked in here.
Yeah, which...
But it's a cool book. It looks... The art's really pretty.
Yeah, it's a...
It's got a lot of cool takes, like... Matt Murdock basically being the Kingpin is kind of cool, as opposed to him being, you know, Daredevil.
I mean, we didn't even really mention about with having Peter Parker do that. Like, then having Miles Morales just as the main Spider-Man will go over well, because, I mean, of the Ultimate books, his was always the only...
Selling.
Ones that, like, consistently sold this, like, I mean, why he's still around instead of most, like...
And Marvel is doing it right in that most people would probably give him to a new hand, but Marvel kind of understands that Brian Michael Bendis created this character, everyone likes this character, he's the only person to actually write this character. Miles Morales has only ever really been written by Brian Michael Bendis, forget you, and so... I actually thought when I heard the announcement they were going to announce a different writer.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a strange, safe move for Marvel.
But see, at this point, Marvel, like, I mean...
I'm just saying, and it's strange. Oh, another big announcement is Jason Aaron is going to write the new Doc Strange book.
Which will be good.
Which will be good because if he does half of what he did for Thor for Doc Strange, I'm sold.
Also, let alone, he's also writing a Weird World currently.
Which was epic.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean...
Mike Del Mundo, please, at some point, do one arc for the Doc Strange book.
Yeah, that, and also, I will say, I was a little surprised at the slight humor in the whole thing.
Well, Jason Aaron, beyond his Thor books and his indie books, typically has a bit of humor about it, as far as his X-Men book was really goofy.
Yeah, but I was just saying, like, I didn't expect it in, like, you know, in that setting, and especially his map.
Yeah, his map was great. The map page was what sold me on every issue that would follow. Weird World is one of those titles that should retain after Secret World.
Yeah, I mean...
Secret Wars is over.
Do you think it will, though?
I would hope. I highly doubt it, but it's such a unique book. The fact that it's in the Marvel Universe is kind of mind-blowing. Like, you could put the image print on that page one, and you would never think anything different.
That, or, I mean, hell, even, it's even closer to a DC in a lot of ways. Like, I mean, because DC is a bit less scared of magic these days than seems like Marvel is. I mean, sure, it doesn't ever work out well for DC. No. Like, the books always tank because... I mean, I guess there's a reason Marvel's scared of magic books, because apparently they don't sell that well.
They don't sell that well, and Marvel's done a really, really, really good job at science fiction for, like, the last 30 years. Marvel kind of dipped its toe in science fiction and superheroes with the Infinity Gauntlet and had such a surplus afterwards. They were like, why don't we just make this our thing? Because we already have so many characters that are in space.
And I would argue that Marvel has the more realistic books than DC does, to an extent.
Well, not just that. What I'm saying is...
Yeah, Ghost Rider is definitely realistic.
Well,
said a lot of time. Marvel tends to have characters you can relate to.
Yeah.
DC has characters you can aspire to.
Well, yeah, that's the classic differentiation between the two, was that...
What I was kind of getting at is... beyond Martian Manhunter and Superman, there's not a lot of per se science fiction characters in your standards, as opposed to there are a lot of science fiction characters in the Avengers, the X-Men.
Oh, I would argue
the Fantastic Four is a science fiction book. Green Lantern to an extent. Yes,
so X-Men can go in its science fiction type ways. You know.
But I mean,
especially a lot of time traveling. Crap.
Yeah, there's a lot of time traveling.
Also, also forgetting an important one and Mark's favorite, Legion.
Yeah, no, it's getting to Legion. But I'm saying, as far as the standards, like the Legion is what I like to call a little nook in the bigger universe. People don't know the Legion of Superheroes if you say DC. Yeah. You say DC, you say Justice League, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. Now you say Marvel, you say the Avengers, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, the X-Men. Most of those characters are heavily science fiction books
and
nowadays.
And of course, you know, you say Avengers now, that includes several other lines too, you know.
Exactly. One of which is Iron Man, who is almost exclusively science fiction nowadays.
Yeah. Iron Man, Hulk, you know, Captain America, you know. I mean, they still have other stuff going for them as far as that.
But as far as Marvel goes, I feel like they do have a harder time with magic because they're so saturated in science fiction.
But see, they weren't always, I mean...
No, they weren't always at all.
If you take, I mean, because, I mean, also you got people like, I mean, Thor obviously is their closest
to magic.
Consistent magic that is always selling.
It is. But, it is always sucks.
Which, speaking of Thor, did you read Thor's
number one? It was awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It was really cool. I did not expect it to be a detective noir story.
Yeah, I didn't.
And I really appreciated I got True Detective Thor edition.
Yeah, I mean, really, it was a...
It was True Detective Thor edition.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect at first when it was first announced because, you know, when it was first announced... Secret Wars hadn't even started.
Yeah, we had no idea what was going on with Secret Wars.
So when it was, like, Thor's, I just thought, okay, I knew there was, like, going to be different worlds involved, but I didn't know Thor's were going to be the police force.
Yes, and then after I read Secret Wars 2, I expected something totally different out of Thor's 1. But then actually reading Thor's, I was like, it's not even what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be something so wholly different than what I got out of issue 1, and I couldn't have been happier.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's a really cool book.
I mean, I guess I'm not going to say the reveal still of, but who the murdered victim is.
That's great. That's great. And I love that none of them know who that is.
Yeah. Well, that's because the other thing that's weird about the Battle World thing is like where people just forgot what happened in their previous universes. They still haven't explained really how that works.
Doom is just, he erased it from them.
Yeah, but it's just like, they haven't really gone into detail on that, but they've kind of talked about it.
Yeah, they've talked about it.
Well, or more like they're like, how does nobody remember? And I think Strange, or I guess Strange.
Yeah, he was at the epicenter of when Doom created Battleworld.
Yeah.
So he wasn't affected the way everybody else was.
And he... he could have been God.
Yeah, I love that that's Secret Wars 3, that conversation Doom and Doctor Strange have about how even Doom was willing to let Doc Strange have the power that Doom now wields. But Doctor Strange is like, no, I'm okay, it's all you, bro. But as far as the Thor's book went, the whole idea that Thorcore is a great example of why Doom is a genius, as far as the only people in any version of the universe that could totally wipe Doom off the map would be a Thor. So, why not just embrace the Thors and make them their own thing as opposed to making every Thor in each universe an enemy. And I loved it. I loved the way he set it up.
Also, I will say, having Storm be a Thor, or a Storm be a
Thor, is awesome.
I just think it's kind of funny because it's almost redundant at that point.
Yeah. Well, she was Thor at one point.
Yeah, but you know.
You know, what like, if, but.
She doesn't need any, like.
No, she's already a Thunder.
Already. Yeah.
But it's great. It's great. And I love that conversation with old Thor.
Yeah.
What do they call them? Holdy?
Let's see, because there's Rooney.
Yeah. Oh, it's Rooney. Rune yeah. Thor. Rune Thor calls. Yeah, man. I just hope this case isn't a mutie case. I hate muties. And she's like, standing next to one. Yeah, but you don't really count because you're a Thor.
Yeah, and also Groot Thor. I am Thor.
Yeah. That's one of the best. Every time he pops up in that issue, I just hear him yelling, I am Thor! I am Thor! It gets great every time. Every time. Loved Groot Thor. It's so funny. Oh my god.
But, yeah, let's see. What else? What came out this week?
This week, Planet Hulk 2 came out.
Yeah, Planet Hulk 2, which definitely.
I'm really excited about Infinity Gauntlet 2, also because I found out Dustin Weaver, who's writing and drawing it, a lot of his inspiration came from Nausicaa Valley of the Wind.
That's cool.
Which is really obvious if you read the first issue.
Yeah, I read the first one, but I just...
I mean, after I found out, I reread the first issue, like, oh, it makes all the sense that he really loved Nausicaa Valley of the Wind, and then wrote.
Yeah, I mean, Planet Hulk, you can't get wrong with it. It's Captain America with the dinosaur.
Yeah. Trying to kill different Hulks. Yeah. In a world full of Hulks.
Though I will say, as awesome as it is, and I like the idea that Marvel's using these names that they've used for various other runs of something, it's going to make my box, like my box
so
at home, so confusing. Because
you sound like, oh, Civil War?
Which
well,
Civil War?
Is it the Secret War Civil War? Is it regular Civil War?
It's like, and which Secret Wars?
Yeah, and which Secret Wars are we up to? Oh, man, I forgot. The one with Doom? They all have Doom! That's kind of the point!
But I really, like, it goes back to that thing, like, Marvel and DC are still so the same. They're like, we're gonna have this event repeatedly, we're gonna call it vaguely something different, or the same thing.
Yeah. Like, at DC, it's always a crisis.
Yeah.
At Marvel, it's always a wars.
Yeah.
Civil War, World War Hulk,
yeah.
Secret Wars. I feel like there's
Secret
another
wars
one.
Do over.
Yeah, the Secret Wars 2. The Secret War.
Yeah. And then, oh yeah, this came out. Material number 2 came out.
Nice.
Which, did you read the first one of those?
I think I've read the first one.
It's some heavy shit, man. Like
it's like a philosophical.
Yeah, Ellis Cott killing it. Like, I'm not sure if you've been reading the rest of the Surface too. It's like... It's a hard...
Cod's on fire, actually, because I'm reading his miniseries at the Valiant called Dead Drop, and it's a ton
of
fun.
Dead Drop, see, but that's like... That's him being, like,
that's what I'm saying. I haven't seen Alex Cott drop something that simple since I started reading Dead Drop. Well, I'm like, wow, this is really fun.
Yeah, but, like, usually, like, especially, like, Surface and Material, I'm almost surprised they're letting him do it in issues. Like...
Yeah.
Because it... I mean,
I'm getting into dice game, man. When you're showing up, and you're showing out. And I feel like he's got a lot going for him right now.
But at the end of every issue of Material, there's an essay written about like by an author that he respects about like the theme of the
each
last issue.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's like I mean it's it
That's
could
pretty
not
cool, man.
Honestly, it could not have art in it.
And it's still be a good story.
Well, because it's vaguely a story. It's more like a story there to like
help explain things.
Well, more talk his views on like stuff and his interest in philosophy and like.
That's just funny because
like
it's called Material.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it is a. It's a lot of it's about materialism, about consumerism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first issue opens up with like a college professor lecturing on how technology is ruining.
Nice.
Like interpersonal relationships and all this stuff.
Kind of in a
real heavy way.
Yeah. But then there's stuff about, you know, all the police shootings that have happened and stuff.
Dude,
yeah, it's just like I was like, wow.
And there's footnotes on every page.
Yeah,
there's like, see this other...
Yeah.
Like, see the thing that inspired me to write this. Like,
read this book.
Yeah.
Like, every page is a book recommendation.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's really... And it's, and I was just surprised that it was in issue format. Do I think it'll sell well overall? Probably not. Sorry, Alice. But yeah, it's just like...
Gotta deal with it sometimes.
But yeah, I mean, he's the fact that he's doing it, because I think he just wants to, legitimately.
That's what it feels like.
But like he really wants to make it happen.
Yeah, and it's cool.
Also, how much is it?
It's a 350 book.
It's a 350.
Yeah, but and as far as I know, it's a. It doesn't say it's limited, so it might be an ongoing. Which
yeah, Image is really good about. Like telling you on the issue if it's a short run. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, most indies will let you know.
Yeah.
Unless you're God is Dead, where it's switched from a miniseries to a.
Yeah.
To an ongoing.
Because that made sense.
Because that looks real good.
It's still going, man. I just think that publisher has nothing else to put out. Was it on Avatar? I think it's on Avatar. It's on something that doesn't put out lots of regular books.
Hmm. See, I even forget because I stopped caring about that like 2 years ago.
Yeah, and the fact that it's still going on blows my mind.
It blows you.
It does. Other news and things and stuff we could talk about. They announced, speaking of Spider-Man, the young man who will play Spider-Man in the Sony Marvel movies. When I say Sony Marvel, I mean Sony still has the rights, but they agree that they can't make a good Spider-Man movie to save their lives. So Marvel's going to do it for them. And
first one was good.
What?
First one was good.
Amazing Spider-Man 1 was pretty okay.
Yeah, no, it was good. Don't just say pretty
good. It was good. It was good. It was a good Spider-Man movie. Because Andrew Garfield played a good Spider-Man.
He was a believable Parker.
He played a pretty good Peter Parker.
He was a smart ass. He was a nerd. He was.
Yeah, I will say... Like, he was a good Peter Parker. He looked the part, first off.
Yes.
He wasn't...
The banter was great. The banter was really well
done.
That
was one of the problems with Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. He didn't have the banter.
Yeah, really. There was no... Tobey Maguire doesn't talk as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't a smart ass.
No. But we can agree the second movie was not as good.
It
suffered
okay.
from oversaturation. Yeah.
It was I still haven't seen it.
It suffers from oversaturation.
When I finally saw it,
it's not bad, is what I'm gonna say. It's not like outright terrible.
Outrightgeekery.com.
selfless book. The thing about Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Pop quiz, Thor's last week, 1 to 10.
I'd give it a 9.
I'd say a solid 8 or 9.
Yeah. 8 or 9.
If you're a Thor fan, it's a must read.
If you're a Thor fan, it's not per se a must read. It's
if you're enjoying Battle World in general and like the world, it's a really cool.
It's a detective noir story,
but with
with two Thors on the case.
It's the police Thor police force being
actual cops. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But Amazing Spider-Man 2 suffers from too many things shoved into one movie.
Yeah, it went through like 30 villains.
Yeah, there's there's half of the Sinister Six is in the movie.
That is a little ridiculous.
But I mean, like...
I love Paul Giamatti, but Paul Giamatti is the Rhino. Really?
Yeah, I mean, the Rhino was kind of just...
Paul Shore at that point could be the Vulture.
I would actually kind of watch that.
Actually,
I'd like to see Gilbert the Weasel as the Vulture.
Yeah.
Oh.
We could get Brandon Fraser to be Sandman.
Nah, I don't want him to be
Mysterio.
Oh god, no! I'd want Rey Mysterio.
No, it was a lot in one movie. They introduced the next Green Goblin. They give you the Rhino. Electro, which everyone forgot was the big build villain, is in not as much in the movie as you assumed.
Also, he looks wonky.
They tried to make the costume more like the comic book, but they didn't. His eyes are really bright for some reason the whole time. I don't know if they like put lights
so they
like LED and then they lights in his eyes.
Just because they thought they needed to get it out there, they needed to go ahead and get rid of Gwen Stacy.
Didn't even make it past the second movie, though. Seems totally unnecessary.
Yeah, it's solely like they were just like, we need a climactic point in this movie.
Let's just kill the bitch.
Let's just kill Gwen Stacy.
Which, I mean, honestly, to be said...
We all knew it was an eventuality. Yeah. We all knew, as soon as you put in Gwen Stacy, she's gonna die. Jason Todd's gonna die every time, Gwen Stacy's gonna die every time, Uncle Ben. It's one of those inevitabilities that has to happen in comic books.
Yep.
And so, you know, I mean, you could have waited another movie. You really could have. You could have kept Gwen Stacy on for one more movie. You could have cut out half the villains you added in this one movie, and it would have been pretty good.
Could have built up Green Goblin a bit better than that.
And they were like, no, we don't want to be one of those superhero movies that just has one villain every movie. We're going to give you five. And we're going to kill the girlfriend.
And we're going to make Jamie Foxx be...
And we're going to be so cool, Jamie Foxx gets to be Electro. And it's going to be... It was like watching Pluto Nash. Why am I even watching this halfway? Like halfway through the movie, you're like, "Did I consciously choose to do this to myself?"
See, I consciously chose to never watch Pluto Nash, so I don't even know what you're talking about.
You pay somebody in a stack of Hillarys at one point is all I'm saying. Pluto Nash is not worth your day.
Unless you enjoy bad movies.
And people who enjoy bad movies don't like Pluto Nash. Like, people who legitimately watch bad movies on purpose won't watch Pluto Nash. Ryan,
Jules has a pretty bad taste in movies. I'm
and
surprised.
I won't watch Pluto Nash ever again. I did it once. One time. Because I thought, I know they say this movie's the worst thing in the world, but can it really be that? It is.
Worse than Trolls 2?
Worse than Trolls 2. Because Trolls 2 is at least so bad it's good. Yeah, it is. It's actually
singular
Troll
2.
For some reason, it is just a troll. But they're not even trolls, they're goblins.
Yeah, Nilbog.
Nilbog. It's goblin backwards. Like, that's not obvious at all. Nobody.
Larry, what's your feelings on Pluto Nash?
Remember it was an Eddie Murphy movie?
Yeah. I never watched it.
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured.
I knew better.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched it drunk.
Okay.
So. I watched it sober, and it was terrible. I felt drunk for watching. I was like, yeah. Did I get drunk and put this on? Did I drunkenly make it?
We all know Jules is going to go home and put on Pluto Nash.
It's so bad. It's so bad, it's not good at all.
Okay.
It's so bad, it just hurts.
Draymond, you're going to go home and spite watch Pluto Nash and tell him it's good?
Probably.
Yeah, we did. Very briefly. I don't know anything about Tom Holland. I guess getting back to the original point, because I realized this was the tangent that this all started on, that casted Tom Holland, and we were like... That sucks, Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, I'm
but you are like 35, and this kid's 19, so too bad, bro.
I'm kind of looking at this one.
I don't know anything about him.
With fanboy throughout, you know, how many people when, oh my God, they cast Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, what are they thinking?
That was perfect.
You know, yeah. Or Chris Evans, Human Torch as Captain America, are you kidding me? You know, all the people that say that kind of thing were saying, Guardians of the Galaxy, why are they making that? That's going to be the biggest flop ever.
They really did say that was going to be a big flop.
Yeah, so,
I thought it was just because I was like, it's hard to sell people on characters they have no clue who they are.
Yeah, because at least you kind of know who Iron Man is, and you kind of know Captain America, and
but
you kind of know
Thor. I'm just kind of using that as the point of people are ripping this
Tom Holland kid apart already, yeah.
You've not seen him in anything. I've seen him in The Impossible. He's for how old he was, not bad.
Yeah, I mean, and he's a baby. He's a baby.
And they're wanting
he
to go with the teenage high school years Peter Parker.
Which I appreciate. And they have said he's not leaving high school anytime soon.
Yeah.
Is what Marvel and Sony have come out right saying. Marvel's biggest fun little poke they get to make at Sony is they say, you know, what we think they've done wrong every time is taking them out of high school instantly.
Yeah.
And not building on that whole high school perspective of Peter Parker, which is so much of early Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, they use all those, like, especially in, like, they use the villains and even the plot lines from, like, early Spider-Man and then don't have them in high school. So it kind of vaguely doesn't make sense.
Well, not only that, Marvel was like, in all fairness... When he gets the job, which is right after high school, it's so much easier for him to be Spider-Man as opposed to when he's in high school and has to rush to get to school on time while he's fighting somebody at like 6 a.m. for some reason, before school starts.
See, I'd love for them to also be able to tie in some of the younger heroes through the younger Spider-Man and doing it that way. Because when we've been introduced to characters like Nova, who, they're going to bring him in eventually. They have to.
Yeah.
Nova is not this adult.
He's also
going
to have
character.
Nothing to do with the core anymore.
Yeah. So you're going to have this young kid there. You know, you've had... Granted, we know it's going to be adult versions with the Defenders of Luke Cage, of Danny Rand, all that. But you've got Virgil Hawkins.
Yeah.
You know, granted, that's a DC, but you've got young teen characters that get much play.
The next market for the Marvel bid is younger characters. There's a lot of talks the Inhumans are going to be much younger. As far as some of the main build characters, of course, Black Bolt and Medusa are going to be freaking adults.
Yeah.
But Karnak, Gorgon, a lot of the new Inhumans that they've just created, who are younger characters, are going to be used. Captain Marvel is going to be a much younger person. And obviously, Black Panther is a young character as well. Based on the casting they've already put forward for him.
So was with Bosworth.
What?
Wasn't that Chazworth, whatever the guy that was in 42?
Yeah, the guy who played Jackie Robinson and James Brown. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, and I mean, like, they've got an aging cast. Robert Downey Jr. is not Iron Man for much longer, guys. Let's just be totally honest about that. He's got, at best, I think, one more movie.
Well,
in his contract, he only has one more movie.
I thought they extended him for two more. I thought I saw something about
that. Realistically, you know, at the rate they're making the movies, I could see him going maybe two.
Yeah, at best, I think they'll do this next...
Maybe even three.
He's stretching it, though. The
but
next
also,
Avengers
it's depending on how
2019.
Big
is
his part. Yeah, they could have him... They have the basic plots to a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
He could be filming stuff now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean...
Because they have it all mapped out already.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
really,
they have their game plan.
He probably, could... And with makeup and special effects, they could probably push his filming if they wanted to easily over the next 6 or 7 years.
That's
without
true.
It making it... And plus, Tony Stark isn't known for being... He's kind of the playboy.
Yeah, and
so
you're right. He's always been known as more of the older of the Avengers.
Yeah,
Robert,
they could
Jr.
just take it into the turn of the Iron Man alcoholism full on again. And then, I mean, he could look bad because then he's
an
alcoholic.
Point, the thing about Iron Man, too, is you don't even have to put Tony in the suit. Tony could be involved. But, I mean, there was a point where Tony was pretty much, Alfred and Rhodey wore the suit. And Tony kind of just... sat at the control center and told him what to do.
Batman Beyond type situation.
Yeah, exactly. You could Batman Beyond Tony Stark. You can have him sit at the controls and tell him what to do while somebody else wears the suit.
And I'm sure, as well as it doesn't take, with Agent Carter or whatever, they've got Tony's father or
on the show now.
They could easily introduce when they find whoever they want to replace him, introduce a younger Tony.
Yeah, and let him
and
play
let
Tony.
That go, he looks just like a grown-up version of the kid,
Yeah.
Or whatever. Easily they could...
Would it be that difficult for them to alter things and say, Tony actually had a child out here somewhere with all these girls he always slept with?
Well, the thing about Marvel is, they have a lot of replacements sort of built into the universe in that Don Cheadle is much younger than Robert Downey Jr. And having been War Machine, he could easily just take this next step and be
also,
an Iron Man.
Also, for one, for Avengers, obviously the team's a lot different.
And
War Machine's going to be a bigger part.
Well, the other thing, too, is the cool thing about Marvel's Avengers is, unlike the Justice League, there's been lots of Avengers lineups without Captain America, Thor, or Iron Man. Like, those aren't the gimme-gimme-gimmes as far as having the Avengers.
And establishing.
Yeah, exactly. You could have... There's been an Avengers team
and that's what
with
I think
none
Robert,
of those guys in
Robert
it.
Downey has done so much for the role, I think they're going to have to make him less and less. It's like...
Yeah, yeah. They're just, and that's what it is. They'll play down Iron Man.
Is, gonna be him in there one or two scenes, you know, yeah, a glorified cameo.
Exactly. And that's what they'll do is they'll play down Iron Man. They're not going to replace him per se. They just won't have Iron Man anymore.
Right. And we'll have a movie or two without Iron Man before they introduce the new one.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, they'll introduce the new one, and I'm sure they'll have Robert Downey Jr. do a cameo.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, a la Stan Lee, whatever. Yeah. You know.
In the last. In Age of Ultron, didn't they mention. Wasn't the one doctor, wasn't that Cho where it was her son eventually was like, was it Iron Spider or something like that?
Oh, no, Amadeus Cho. Amadeus Cho eventually does join the Avengers via hanging out with the Hulk and Hercules. He's like one of the smartest people on the planet.
Yeah. Right.
And well,
maybe play that into it as him end up being the replacement as that younger hero tied in since they're wanting to go more youth.
Well, not only that, they have the Vision, and the Vision pretty much makes up for a lack of a Thor and an Iron Man.
And, you know, there's also with, they could easily, literally kill Iron Man.
Yeah.
And have him brought back and look different.
Well, not only that, the thing about Iron Man, and there's a lot of talk about this new Iron Man, you could just turn him into an AI. He could convert himself. Like, he could die, his physical body could die, and much like Jarvis or the Vision, all that's left is his, like, voice. Mm. And
or
a suit.
Part of the Infinity Stones with time and space and all that, they could easily say, oh, well, we still need a Tony Stark in that way of thinking, but let's pull it from Tony Stark when he was 20 years old so we can keep him going.
Yeah. I mean, you could do a billion million things.
Yeah, there's plenty of ways to work it around.
Yeah.
Now, and of course, for the record, I'm Lawrence of America. With me today is
J. Jonah Jesse,
Jules,
Draven,
and joining us briefly was
DC. All
right. Now, joining in, forced, sucked into the conversation, as is many who come into the comic book shop, and all are welcome to join.
Yeah.
All right, sorry to interrupt the flow, but
no,
please
but,
get that out of the way.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering. I was like, I realized it's like you just started it off. No, and I was like, oh,
good to see you.
Good to see you, man.
See you next week.
Yeah. And, you know, and we're only really scraping the surface because Jessica Jones comes out later this year, and who knows how good that show is going to be. I mean, if they keep the success they had with Daredevil going on Netflix, we could see more characters than we know what to do with coming out of the TV shows. All of which who have been guaranteed spots in movies at some point.
On another note...
And,
go ahead.
I'm kind of...
You know that. I think Daredevil is supposed to have a cameo in Civil War.
You know, and that's like, but I kind of like the idea. I like there being properties I don't have to watch everything. I know they want everybody to watch everything.
But yeah, but that's the cool thing about the Netflix shows is you don't have to...
Exactly.
Like, for instance, Daredevil only vaguely mentions the Avengers.
Yeah.
Right, right. And I think Daredevil works better without the...
Avengers.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
Because it's such a different feel of a show. It's like... I mean, it's like in the vein of a noir, kind of like more dark, just like... thing. And it works as kind of... It's like he's on his own. Like, because that's kind of how the books are, too.
Yeah,
I mean, Daredevil rarely plays into everyone else's stuff.
Yeah, and they need stuff
Spider-Man.
Like that. They need those fringe stories to really fill out the universe.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about it is, too, is, and I don't know why, and I know you haven't seen Age of Ultron, that's not really giving anything away, but they took the Avengers out of New York to let the story breathe a little bit better for Daredevil and the other people who will be in New York now. For instance, the Defenders, who are going to be the Netflix team, are going to be located in New York, and the Avengers are no longer going to be there, so it makes more sense that there's a new team in New York, and it's not the Avengers and the Defenders, really. They
right,
can't just come in and
help. All of those people
in one
need some B-listers.
Exactly.
You know? But it makes sense.
Now it makes more sense.
If they were going worldwide,
and the Defenders
somebody
could
else
stay
like,
local.
Hey, it really, if you're setting it in the world, you do have to at least go. You know, notice, oh, well, somebody blew up half the city, you know. But in Daredevil, I would do it something like in a lawyer case where, somebody was trying to sue somebody over it or something.
Well, I do hope.
You know, they could just mention it briefly.
I was going to say, if Daredevil and Spider-Man just crossed over a little bit, that would be really cool because they're famous for crossing over
a lot. Yeah, but see, I doubt Marvel let it go in a Sony movie because they're like, you still own the rights. Screw you.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I don't think Sony owns the rights to Miles Morales.
They don't. They don't.
But, I mean, technically they still could.
They'd have to give him a different name.
Yeah, he could be Spider-Man.
But with Sony sharing the rights...
Spider-Guy.
Well, they could call him... Oh, they own Scarlet Spider. I was like, they call him Scarlet Spider? That'd be kind of cool, but no, I think they own the name.
Well, really, now here's the thing. Yeah, they just... Miles Morales...
As a name. Yeah, they don't own him as a property. They only own the Spider-Man name.
They could easily come up with something else. They could change his name if things go south.
Yeah.
And I don't think Sony is going to, because they're fine. Hey, you mean we can get a little cut of this? Awesome.
And that's the thing about this whole deal is
we're not going to spend any money.
Exactly. And that's why Sony's really excited about it, because, first off, most movie-making money is in the merchandising. And nobody is selling more merchandise right now than Disney's Marvel. They are just stupid money. Dancing Groot? Dancing Groot is everywhere. There's a Dancing Groot for everything now. I don't even know how you have variations on that one theme. Dancing Groot is 5 seconds of that movie. But you can find Dancing Groot in a jersey, Dancing Groot in a tuxedo.
Not only is it 5 seconds of that movie, it's 5 seconds of that movie in the middle of the credits.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, like
it's not even in the movie, really.
Yeah. Exactly. But you know what? They're making a kill. They have the pop figure of Dancing Groot. There's the one that you stick in the sunlight and it dances.
Okay, I was going to say.
What?
Oh, no. You just pointed out a giant munchkin spinner display. I'd signed this up to, as a store that sells munchkin, because we do a lot of games and stuff, and trying to get somebody down here from Steve Jackson Game
to
come
cool.
do a bunch of demos or whatever.
That'd be really
and they
cool.
said they'd put us on the list and try and send somebody to get in touch with us. But they sent us, some posters and some promos and stuff like that, including a giant display. So we have a couple little handouts for people who buy Munchkins, little promotional bookmarks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was fun putting that up there.
But those are giant QR codes.
Yeah. Right.
And, try getting out with
on the inside.
Here's the thing. Yeah. They are on the inside.
And I am not tall enough to scan that with my phone.
You probably do it from here.
Maybe that's why they're so big. So you can get it from here.
Munchkin is known for doing weird little stuff like that.
It's true.
Steve
Jackson games in general are kind of known to be quirky. And
almost to the point, it's not per se annoying, but a little bit.
Well, the weird thing about Munchkin is, they have rules for everything.
Yeah.
So, you buy one of their t-shirts, there's game rules for the t-shirt.
Yeah.
And the weird thing, too, is those game rules change on the day of the week, which way you're facing and your sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. And also, you ever play Illuminati, another one of those?
Steve
Jackson games?
So the funny thing about Illuminati, if you don't know the story, so Illuminati is, of course, a game about exactly what you think it is. It's about government conspiracy and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So at the time he was doing Illuminati, he released it. It was 95, I think, right after Magic. He was also doing another game that was RPG. And it was Cyberpunk. Okay? Now, to research all this stuff to get the flavor text from Illuminati Cyberpunk, he was calling real conspiracy theorists, real government people, hackers.
He's on all sorts of lists.
He got put on so many lists. Now, the NSA... Because Homeland Security wasn't a thing back then, raided his office, seized all his computers.
Oh my God.
Back in 96, seized everything. Every piece of paper, everything. Alright? And that's part of the reason Illuminati went away. All the files, everything. They just got that back last year.
Wow.
So
this was 95?
right?
Yeah. They kept it for 20 years. 20 years.
But Illuminati's pretty fun, too, because it's...
And with them getting all that back, they re-released the original core set. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, it's a good game. It's like, I mean, very similar to Steve Jackson games, just have a lot of rules that you're supposed to know almost just so you can do it, like, that you cannot use them. Like, in Illuminati, more so than other ones, where it's like, they're pretty much saying, yeah, it's like, no, cheat, do it. Like...
Well, Munchkin, the original version, said, cheating is okay, it's within the rules if you don't get caught.
Yeah, exactly. That's a theme with, I think, a lot of Steve Jackson games, is that idea where it's like, if you don't tell anybody...
Right, then it never happened.
Yeah, and...
You're just really good at this game.
Yeah, but anyway, there was awesome. A point. I was gonna say when you were talking Netflix. So I saw they put the second season of Agents of Shield on there just now, but which just makes me mad. And I'm like, DC put the second season of Young Justice on there. I want to watch it.
Yes.
I want to have it at the ease of my fingertips.
Yeah, it's just they don't care about us.
They really don't. But I want to think that they do, you know.
But they don't.
But
I mean, a boy can dream. You should know that they don't care about you or your feelings. Juice.
Hey, that ain't my name. That ain't my name.
That's not my name. That's not my name.
That's not what I was going for. I was going for
So you already lost because it's all about the Ting Tings.
No,
yeah, I do know the name of that band.
No, I was going with the SNL Jeopardy thing.
Oh, yeah. And,
Norm MacDonald changes his name to Turd Ferguson on there.
And that's like, a good one.
And Trebek like asks him something and he's like, that's not my name. All right, Turd Ferguson. Anyway.
So Ant-Man comes out next month.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I feel like I'm excited, but their trailers don't do much for the story other than, like, I still kind of don't fully know how it's going to be, like, in actuality. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, sometimes you see a trailer and you're like, oh, I know what's going to happen in this movie, and it's going to be sweet.
Yeah, but, every time I watch the different trailers for Ant-Man, I'm a little more confused every time.
Yeah, I still don't really know what they're doing. Like,
it just looks good.
Yeah, it looks good, and I'm stoked on it, but...
I can't say I know exactly what's going to go
down.
Yeah,
I'm still kind of wondering.
But saying all that, I kind of didn't know what was going to happen in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I'm happy I didn't know. I enjoyed it just as well.
Yeah.
I know Ronan was the bad guy. That's about all I knew.
Yeah, I knew Ronan was the bad guy. Star-Lord. All right, let's do this.
Exactly. And then for the Ant-Man trailer, I'm like, okay, Darren Cross is the villain.
Karen Gillian being as fuck.
Yeah.
Oh. I said our one.
He took the one. Everybody gets one.
I've been doing this for a while.
Yeah. But
I'm
looking forward to it. And they announced that Paul Rudd would reprise his role as Ant-Man for Captain America: Civil War. So
that's cool.
I know they're not doing it, and I know it's like pointless to talk about, but I'm still a little bummed they're not going with the every Ant-Man.
Yeah. Thing.
And they still have time to do that. They could do that.
There's a lot of talk about there's more heroes in this movie than you think there are, is what Marvel keeps saying.
Yeah, which is like, once again, goes back to their trailers not really telling you much of anything.
Well, there's a lot of talks that there are more than one Wasp in the movie as opposed to more than one Ant-Man as well.
Hmm.
They haven't fully gone more than that, but I will see. I had something else to say, and I just totally lost it.
Man. Good job, man.
I know. Feeling so bad.
You're killing the flow now.
No, I'm totally killing the flow. Oh, have you seen Jurassic World?
No, still haven't.
It's not Jurassic Park.
Well, I mean,
like at
shit.
All, though.
Yeah, but
no, I mean, as far as the feeling, like I thought it was gonna be.
I heard it was good though.
It's good. It's a good action movie.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what you really want at the end of the day. I mean, because
you want some action and you want some dinosaurs.
Well, I wanted the thriller aspect of it.
Yeah, but I mean, also, alternately, the only Jurassic Park really that's Jurassic Park is the first one.
Yes.
And so if you expected that, then I mean you're wrong. And I mean,
no, I know. I mean, in all fairness, Jurassic Park was our Jaws. It was scary in its own way. It was scary. It wasn't super scary. It just it gave you that fleeting scary feeling out of nowhere. Except for that scene. That scene is the not scary part at all. Look at all the ones that eat grass. Look how good this is. We did a good thing, right? We brought back all the dinosaurs that eat grass for this scene. Oh, we also brought back all the ones that could eat people. That's for later, though. Don't worry about that. It's going to be okay.
Is there a Jeff Goldblum?
Sort of. You see him on the cover of a book.
Okay, well, that makes me happy.
And they bring the goat back. Because the goat's the best part. I just love still not eating that goat. Man, that goat's still alive. Dude, the goat's gone. Oh. What? The goat's gone? That's the best scene is when they realize the goat's gone. Oh, no. It's for real. They brought back the ones that could eat people, too.
Nice, dude.
They brought back the ones that could eat people, too, guys.
I had to rip off the
Band-Aid. What are you doing?
I was messaging all of our lovely other friends who are at... with me at OutrightGeekery.com, who could not be here today.
With you?
With me.
Just you?
Just me. They didn't know who you were. They're like, who's doing the podcast right now?
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be funny later when they actually listen to this podcast and I talk to them because they thought the podcast was already done.
Yeah,
they're like, who did the podcast? And I'm like, currently, me, Draven, Jesse, and Larry. And
I also,
who's Draven? Or no, somebody said, I think, what's a Draven?
Have a good one.
Like, my main Steffi? Question is, to them, is they keep talking about putting me in that group message, and they keep not. And they're like, oh, you're not in the group message? No? Yeah. Thanks,
guys. I don't know how to do that. Otherwise, yeah. I would do it right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to internet.
You wondering why I don't do things on Outright Geekery? Because I ain't on the group message.
It's weird you don't know how to internet. You on your phone all the time.
I know. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing all the time.
What group message is this?
Outright Geekery.
Let's see.
We kicked Larry off of it.
Why?
I don't know.
Am I on it?
No, I don't know, actually. I said that as a joke.
It's something you would do.
I don't do it. I don't know how to. I don't know True. How to internet. I just know
actually,
how to Dougie.
Yeah, that's it.
They all love it. They all love it. Everybody loves it. Everybody
really,
loves
where did that story come from? Or that
because I don't know how to internet,
from?
But
no,
I know
no,
how to Dougie.
Because no.
everybody yeah. loves it.
The Dougie thing. I've heard other people reference.
It's a song. Teach me how to Dougie. Teach me how to Dougie.
It's one of those songs. Yeah. That's
it's
a
one
song
of those really bad
just
songs.
For a dance.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the Macarena, but way lazier. Because they don't even explain the steps. It's just, yeah,
it's like,
everybody
me.
Loves how to do this stance. Can you teach me how to do it? Sure. Everybody loves it. I don't think you're missing what I'm asking. Like, I want you to teach
me.
I know
everyone.
I know everybody. I got that, but I want to know how to do it.
I know how to, Dougie. It involves taking three shots right off the bat, right? And then whatever you dance is perfect.
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it.
I'm for that.
Yeah.
Dance every 15 minutes, take a shot.
I think I can get behind that.
I don't encourage drinking that much, people.
Yeah, I think I can I can endorse that.
Yeah, all right, they're blackout.
That has been a year and a half.
Yeah,
it said that you have a specific time frame for when
the last say
day.
It hasn't happened
it's
in a
February
year and a
of
half,
2014.
But can you just not remember it happening in a year and a half?
Now, that's totally
possible.
No,
I
plausible.
Would remember because I would wake up with throw up on me had it happened.
Wow.
Oh. Larry's like, okay. I got dark real fast. All right.
Yeah, I got really uncomfortable.
All right there, Tony Stark.
All right. So here, random puppet, first vehicle.
What?
First vehicle.
My first vehicle?
Yeah, the first car you drove.
Oh, it was a Ford Explorer. Well, okay, then it was probably a boat. But, which is a lot
first
more
first one you owned. Let's
oh,
see.
Then that's my car. Ford Explorer. 99.
Mountain bike. Pegs on the front and the back.
Oh, I mean...
No. 92 Toyota Camry. White.
95 Jeep Cherokee.
Terrible.
It was a great car, but...
But someone didn't ever put oil in it,
someone may have forgotten to put oil in it, and it might have blown up on the interstate. Maybe.
Whoa. Yeah, yours?
It was a 69 a Honda Dream motorcycle, 90cc.
Ah.
Yeah, I was the second owner. I bought I bought it. Had less than 500 miles on it. All original. Yeah. Yeah, original keys, original spark plug, which actually went out of manufacture. I had a special order from a Japanese lawnmower company. But it was actually the first line of motorcycles that Honda released in America.
Really?
It was a collector's piece. They had a slogan. It was the gentleman's bike, because Harley was known for the bad boys or whatever. And it was a field bike, which... Oh, it's commonly referred to as an enduro nowadays. But the field bike was totally street legal, yet off-road capable. It was great. I had came in three paint job schemes. A white and black, red and black, yellow and black. And the 90cc motor was right there. It was totally self-serviceable, leather seat, nice, all original, great condition. It had a top speed of around 75 miles an hour, but it actually had a factory spec of 200 miles per gallon gas, which is great, because even on a 2 gallon gas tank, you can get 400 miles, which is usually is pretty good for a motorcycle. The average motorcycle gas mileage per tank is around 300. But now, whether they get super high mileage like that, that just depends on the model. And of course, this would be referred to as a rice burner in modern culture. And they'd get a little better gas mileage than your classic street bikes like your Indians or Triumphs or your Harleys. Yeah.
I mean, it's also probably a lot more lightweight, too.
Oh yeah. No, this thing was great. I could jump it and everything. My first automobile accident was on the motorcycle. I jumped it and made about 12 feet in the air, but I didn't really know anything about jumping dirt bikes.
So you didn't know
motorcycle.
What to do afterwards.
I didn't know, how to manipulate the brakes to adjust the flight path of the motorcycle. So I landed front wheel first instead of rear wheel first. And because it was muddy, it sunk in about 2 feet and it just stood straight up. And... which launched me. Now, this was in the mid-90s. I wore baggy pants then.
Yeah, because it was the mid-90s. Yeah,
right. And everybody did. Which is not appropriate motorcycle
attire.
We're
doing very well.
For the following reason.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, knowing I'm going to wipe out, I do my best, splits right over it, push myself off the tank, try to do a split.
Got caught?
It catches my baggy pants. Pulls me straight, rips all the way down to the hems from the pants, scratches the inside of my leg, slams me down in the mud, busts my nose, both of my lip, and my feet are stuck on the handlebars from where the pants... And the most annoying part, now I'm bloody, I'm beaten, and my pants are shredded. Motorcycle doesn't miss a beat, just keeps running. It's stuck in the dirt, running, just purring along. It's like, oh, man. And I ended up having to ride that back because I was probably like 10 miles from my house. So I rode back, and with my pants like flapping behind me in the wind, blood trailing on the side of my face. All that being said.
Pre helmet laws, too, right?
Yes.
In the 90s, so this was no helmet required.
And I had what was left of that motorcycle until a couple of years ago where somebody stole the frame. But,
really?
Yeah.
I was going to ask if you still had this motorcycle.
I'd love to have another one, but they're really hard to come by. And it was actually in good running shape.
Somebody borrowed it. Who might know something about motorcycles. Who can...
They have a... organization called the Vintage Japanese Motorcycle Club that has a yearly meeting. Whose meeting this year is coming up in about 6 weeks, I believe, up in Louisville, Kentucky.
Now, I have to ask, do you come to this information on your own, or is it certain somebody informed you about all of this constantly?
No, this is all my personal knowledge.
He owned the bike. He wrecked himself.
I bought this from a motorcycle shop that was around in the 70s.
I knew you owned the motorcycle because you had a couple of discussions about it.
I was like, this is what I have to spend. What do you have in my budget? He goes, Well, I think this one here runs at the bottom of this pile. That's how I ended up getting it.
Back to the pile.
It even had the original owner's manual.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
still got
the crazy.
Owner's manual?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I was saying, owner's manual, you might be able to get something for it if you ever
fell off. Fair enough.
But he has to remember at the time his pants flew off.
Yeah, you need the keepsake for sure. The key, at least, will be the keepsake. You know, of being like, remember when I didn't have pants anymore?
It's definitely a fun bike. It's a great souvenir.
You remember the key.
But after that, my first car was an Escort.
Oh my gosh. Ford Escort?
The other Ford Escort.
No, like an Escort. A personal Escort.
Nice.
He rode piggyback.
He kind of like
pegs,
Robert Crumb
pegs
did.
On the front and the back.
Yeah. No, he did like a Robert Crumb where he got on a girl's back, you know.
Oh, I thought he was going to have like a Hodor. Like just a really big, simple guy.
No,
who
I'm
just
in.
Rides on his
I'm
back.
In like
a Hodor? Oh. Is that the door of the hose coming?
Well, no. The guy from Game of Thrones.
He said Hodor.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
Oh, game, I know about game Hordor. Of those? I don't know what a Hordor.
Hordor?
Isn't it Hordor?
No, it's Hodor.
It's Hodor.
Are you
I
sure?
said it right.
Yes.
Yes, it's Hodor.
Sure? H-O-D-O-R.
Hodor.
It's not.
Hodor. I actually said it right for once.
It's not Hordor.
Yes, it's not Hordor, that really rough part of Mordor. That
that's the best part of Mordor. I don't know.
A lot of people would argue the best parts of Mordor.
Yeah,
it's a little sketchy. Huh. You just gotta get past Goblin
Why have I always saw it?
It's Hodor. It is Hodor.
Still.
He only says his name.
Yeah,
it's like Groot.
You know, I haven't watched him. I just read it.
Yeah,
I know, but
he only
says
his name.
Yeah,
Hodor.
But I always read an R for some reason. Like, I always read Hodor.
Hodor.
You know, I'm kind of dyslexic.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make sense, because then it would have been Hordo.
Yeah, you throw an extra letter in, too.
Other strange part of Gondor.
How come it always comes around to sex? And
no, well,
talking about escorts and whores?
No. Okay. In all fairness,
you started,
sir. And I will explain.
Hordo, is that what they give to the pimps?
No. Hordo is like all of Hordo. Sorry.
Part of Inglewood?
It's that part of Inglewood you aren't really sure where North Nashville starts. It's on Dickerson Road.
For some reason, he thought Hodor from Game of Thrones' name was Hordo.
No, I thought it was Hordor.
Yeah, you thought it was Hordor.
Hordor.
Which is, I guess...
Hodor.
Okay, I'll explain was... When you said escort, I was like, oh, like a Ford escort. And they're like, no, like he had a personal escort. I was like,
all through my teen years.
Yes. No, but then he goes, he
and
thought,
I was like,
he thought Hodor, and I was like, no, like an escort.
Right. And I was like, oh, no, I thought like Hodor, like that really big dude he just rode on, like all of high school.
And then he
like
said,
in a little basket behind
Mordor,
him.
And we're like,
that part of Mordor that nobody really goes to anymore.
I was like, I said, the best part of Mordor.
You just gotta get past like the goblin teeth. And that's how we got there.
The goblin teeth?
Well, yeah. I mean, what do you think? They're gonna be orcs.
Yeah, exactly, man. You gotta get past that.
Well,
right.
No, actually, there's people in Mordor.
There are people in Mordor.
Yeah, I mean, in between, mainly, we're talking like in between, like, the first fall of Sauron
and then Rise.
Like, there's
The Ronin or something? The land of Ronin?
The
Horse Lords of Ronin?
Oh, yes, Horse Lords of Ronin.
Yeah, they have an entire, like, little...
But,
yeah.
Also, then, I mean,
I forgot there's, like, regular people in Mordor.
The Nurnin, the tribesmen, Nurnin tribesmen, which...
I mean, there's that whole section of Mordor that they talk about in The Hobbit that had, like, normal people.
Well, yeah, I think... because I've been playing Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, go figure.
Which, in it has the Nurn in it, which is like
the normal people.
They're just
far and few between in the story.
In the main story,
we don't talk about the normal.
Well, it's
people
not really the focus. The focus. Is
yeah, because I mean,
trying to sneak
that's
all,
more like
all the orcs.
That'd be like Silmarillion stuff.
Yeah,
anything. But
there are no feeble goblins or orcs.
What? That doesn't mean they can't be.
Oh,
whores.
Yeah. You know, it never
They are created.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are created.
But I mean, they're...
What about Orkai?
No,
they're female Orkai.
No. They're created.
Yeah,
but weren't they originally elves? They're female elves.
No, orcs.
No, they are
Are they tortured elves? Isn't
that
what they're
orcs, not orcs. Crossed with elves.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that what it was?
Okay. Yeah. But they're all crossed by magic and evil. Not.
So you can't cross a female elf somewhere in there?
He was magicking an army.
I mean,
not a bordello.
Well, yeah, but it's
man, that got rough fast. That's
a good quote right there.
That was a great quote.
If anyone ever asks me anything about Sauron's army, I'm just going to say that now.
But if you want a sustainable army, you want it over the years, you want some bitches so you can make some more little army leaders.
He doesn't want army babies. They were born full grown.
But if...
Army
babies turned into army dudes eventually.
Yeah, he wasn't playing for the slow burn though. He was not playing for the slow burn.
I mean, if you're trying for world domination, all that, you gotta.
Trying for world domination. He was serving someone who had already once dominated the world.
That's true.
But at the same
time, the nerd got deep in here.
Good job, guys. We got really, really...
Yeah, that was like...
But at the same time, for somebody who wanted an insta army, he waited 50 years to get anything done.
Oh, that was nothing to him.
Well, no, he was building his own power in that time, like, because he wasn't personally
right,
at a
point. He was waiting for the right time to strike, because you can't hide an army.
He got messed up.
And, I mean, he was looking for the ring, again, in Lord of the Rings, at least. Like, you know, he's trying to get the ring back because the time's right.
And also...
He needs it, and he's trying to find it.
This point of the plot is why I don't understand what Peter Jackson did with the Hobbit movies. Because, really? Saruman just decides he's not against Sauron for, like, a good chunk of this movie, and then is like, never mind, I'm actually going to help him over the next 50 years and build an army.
Well, I mean...
I get that Saruman was supposed to be a good guy at one point, but not at the time The Hobbit would have been happening.
Yeah, he was.
Well, no, at that point...
Well, and now here's the thing.
He's, first of all, not in any book.
Yeah, he's
not in this book at all.
He's not... It has anything to do with Saruman.
Yeah. So, which, I mean... One could accept the fact that if the necromancer was Sauron the whole time, Saruman would have been in the background maybe helping build this army that the necromancer has. So explain to me why in this movie all of a sudden Saruman's a good guy.
Because he was a good guy.
Get that. At one point he was a good guy just to
me. He was the leader of the Council of the Wizards.
No, but there's even... It's even
and he's just corrupted.
Yes.
What's
and
the
I
name
get
of
that.
The Thari? Or it's, they're like...
I forget the ten men?
The wizards, the name of the...
Oh, the name of the wizards.
What they call their order. Yeah. It's Tolkien, so it's four extra syllables in a language.
It's something like that, Ikari or something like that. But anyway, actually, in that they do... I'll say he does a good job because he pretty much partially, like, at the beginning, he's like, the necromancer, don't worry about that. Saruman's like, psh, no, it's not, psh, it's fine, whatever.
Yeah, and I got that, but him in the third film... Like,
I still haven't even seen the third film, so I just don't care. But you can go ahead and say it.
Okay, and... First off, most of the third film does not happen in the book. And what is in the third film that does happen in the book is only a page.
Right. The Battle of the Five Armies is one of the things Marx talks about. Like, the barrel scene, you know, is a paragraph.
Yep.
It's this huge, long thing. A, they're way expanding movies.
Way.
B, you know, a battle scene in a book is not nearly as entertaining
as a battle scene in a movie. I would agree with that.
And, you know, so I understand why there's differences, but yes, there's no way, there's not enough material in this story
to have gone
three movies.
Yeah, there's not nine.
Because, A, this is all, I mean, this is really The Hobbit in
the Hobbit
book
proper.
Is actually Bilbo's book.
Yes.
That, I mean,
Bilbo is telling the story.
Right.
He's there and back again. Bilbo's book.
Right, and it's called The Hobbit, not by Tolkien's choice. Yeah. I mean, he wanted to call it There and Back Again.
And, I mean, that's the subtitle in the actual book.
Yeah,
like,
but
there's
it's like,
a
yeah,
compromise.
Yeah,
I mean,
if it was up to him, it would be There and Back Again, An Unexpected Journey. Yeah. That was the original
title
for the story.
If it was up to him,
Lord of the Rings would also be a 1,200-page single book.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if it was up to his publisher at the time, it would be six books, not...
Three.
Now, if it was been six books and made into six movies, they would have been more accurate.
Yeah.
But
no. So he had to cram everything into these three books.
But well, and I mean, he, you know, I mean, they didn't edit anything. They're like, nobody's going to want to buy this. You know, let us release it. Cause, and they even broke it up into even the three books. The publisher broke it up into each book into two books.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, just let us, you know.
Yeah, because I mean, every book is book one. Like, yeah, the book is book one and book two.
And especially because they follow different paths. Yeah, you know, book two, the Two Towers, those book one and book two have nothing to do with each other.
No.
It's you know, that's essentially, it's two. They could have did it in two books and had like the book ones of one and the books twos of it's just they're happening simultaneously.
Yeah,
and that's very why they're done that way.
And also, there's nowhere near why Two Towers is probably my favorite book in the series. There's no Shire. My God. The Fellowship Shire is so ridiculous.
I mean, it takes, like, Fellowship, but, I mean, to build that story in the way you need to, yeah, the Fellowship's going to be the slowest moving book.
Well, and also, you know, he is so thorough in his world building.
Yes.
Exactly.
My God.
That's what he was at the end of the day.
Because, now this, you got to remember, Lord of the Rings.
He didn't care about it.
This was not the story he was writing.
No.
This is an offshoot of the story he was writing. Which was the story he was writing was the creation of this world called the Silmarillion. And you know, Silmarillion. Sorry,
the similarity,
pretty much.
Which that book's pretty much a textbook.
Silmarillion, whatever.
Book is a textbook.
I maintain I'm from Texas. I can substitute vowels.
And we're from the south, so we can too. But. We're nerds.
You can elongate syllables.
Yeah. but we're nerds, so say it right.
All right, and once again, I appreciate everybody bringing up my speech impediment.
It hurts. It hurts.
Hurt me right in the feels. All right.
And a lot of people don't even realize J.R.R. Tolkien did not anticipate.
Yeah, these were his bedtime stories. Yeah. His kids, Christopher Tolkien, convinced him
to
make it into a publishing. He was a tenured English professor at Oxford.
Very similar to Watership Down.
Very similar to Watership Down, in that he never anticipated the success of his story.
Yeah, so there are languages, there's genealogies, you can find like ancestral lines and family trees for every major character.
A lot of minor characters. I mean, because apparently Christopher Tolkien was very thorough when he'd ask his father a question about a character, and his father would come up with this fantastical story.
Well, you know, he's a little kid. Why is the sky blue? I don't know. Why is this bed?
Yes.
Why? And you know, I was a kid. I was like, why is that? It's because this. Why is that? You know, and sometimes if you're making it up, it's because this. And there's stories, interviews he's did where the kids would correct him when he'd get something wrong. Yeah, I'd be like, no. You said his hat was this color. You know, and
Gandalf always is a specific outfit. Gandalf looks a very specific way.
Until he turns the Gandalf the White.
And even when he turns the Gandalf the White, it's a very specific outfit because that was his son's favorite character. Christopher loved Gandalf. And Gandalf the hat has to bend at a certain place the whole nine yards. And it's just so funny to me that J.R.R. Tolkien did not care half as much as his son did about how any of his characters
Which, I mean, is why... Christopher Tolkien finished some of the unfinished works of
he is the only he was working because he was creating this world from his imagination, you know, or who knows, maybe he was delusional and he believed this world exists. I don't know.
I hope so.
But
we can only hope
as thorough as it is, it wouldn't surprise me. But he was creating this world, and he was always developing more and more of it.
Yeah.
It never ended. That's why he never published the Silmarillion. Silmarillion in his lifetime.
No. Yeah, and then also the other books.
There's lots of Middle Earth books that a lot of people don't even realize.
Right, there's Unfinished Tales. Yeah, there's Tom Bombadil has his own book. Yep. There's one that's the Tales of the Tom Bombadil.
There's a specific one that I'm thinking.
I think there's about a dozen.
Yeah, but this
there's like one that's just like it's like a textbook. And it's like not the Silmarillion, but it is the history of Middle Earth. And I forget what it's called.
Silmarillion itself
is a textbook.
Basically. Four main stories and a reference book.
Yes. Like, if you want to know the story that they make a joke about...
The Children of Hurin.
That's the one I was thinking.
And it goes a lot into the mythology, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you hear them reference a mythological character or they talk about a story that they don't go into detail in any of... Either the Hobbit or the Lord of the Rings stories, it's in the Silmarillion.
Yeah, you see the elves leaving.
Yes.
They talk about them arriving.
Yes. You know. Well, Silmarillion does a good job of explaining you what the Age of Elves was.
Right. And it was, they say it's called Middle-earth, or the middle, because it's, because it wasn't the first where they came from, you know, it's where they're and where they're going, but it's the Middle Age as well, you know. It's not the Age of Men, which has no magic. It's not the Age of Elves, which is all magic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's in the middle.
Right.
We come into the story halfway through. And that was the whole point of this, was just this world is in the middle of some crazy stuff happening.
Arguably, a third of the way through.
Yeah.
Because it's... Like, the first third would be the Age of Elves.
No, we... And then the second age would have been we come in at the end of the second age.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We missed out on the elves coming in and prospering, and then the ring being made, and then Sauron. We miss all of that. Sauron has already had his butt whooped the first time, after conquering so much.
And the second age is virtually the age of Gollum.
Yes.
Or Sméagol. Because it starts, more or less, with the ring. It ends with the ring being lost.
Yep.
And that allows it to thrive, but it
when
was
we come
lost,
in the tail end of
then,
that,
yeah, and when Sméagol has it for years and years and years, like 100 something,
he has it for like a couple hundred years.
Yeah, it's a couple hundred, I think, because it extended his life past normal hobbits.
I want to say,
was it 5, or is that too much?
I'm not sure
because Sméagol was a river folk, which is basically hobbit.
He was like proto-hobbit.
He's a proto-hobbit.
Yeah, because they talk about hobbits came from river folk. And think about that. Yeah. Gollum was a river folk originally. Sméagol was a river folk, which
and
is proto-hobbit.
A
yeah.
specific, and then like, even that, like,
that, is that how long?
As far as hobbits go, that's a very specific hobbit because most hobbits don't like water.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and that's how they. They're still river folk.
Yes.
You know,
but they're not like what Sméagol was at all. They're actually
humans.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. The hobbits and humans are similar. They're kind of offshoots of the same. But the river folk the humans that came in. The hobbits left the river. That's why they don't like the water. They wanted the simple life. Yeah, they were always that is their thing. It's the, but not all of them. There are
there's a few
wild and crazy ones,
Frodo's
of course.
Father.
Well, and it depends on ones. I want to see say that it's like a not the people who are in the Shire, obviously.
Yeah.
As much,
right,
but there's,
well, and the yeah. the adventuring nature is just considered the low class.
Exactly.
But by the way, Draven looked it up. 478 years he had.
Sméagol
had
the
ring.
I knew it was a long
time
because he's way past.
Holy cow!
He's way past how long a hobbit.
Because
hobbits live a couple hundred years.
And so it's like
like a hundred something.
Because Bilbo.
But the ring extended Bilbo's life too.
That's true, and Bilbo because
he gets a lot older as soon as he.
It wasn't absurd how old he was. It was just absurd how young he looked.
Yes, they talk about that.
Right, so his 111th or 11D or yeah. whatever, yeah.
It was his 11D1st.
11D1st, okay. That's what, yeah. I forget the word. It's been so long since I actually read the books. But yeah, that was a common milestone. And to me, the way they said it made me think of somebody living to be 100 years as a human centurion. Not unheard of.
No.
But not commonplace.
Right. So. And so, that's what it was. It wasn't commonplace how young he looked.
Right.
It's
so,
not that.
I think the average hobbit would probably have about 150 years.
Yeah, because Frodo was. He turned 30, I think.
Yeah, and Bilbo was, what, 40? During the
he was like
of the hobbit?
50 when he. Like,
right, right. I want to say he is he's like 170 or so during The Lord of the Rings.
Who, Bilbo?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's up there.
But yeah, Frodo was like 30 during The Lord of the Rings, and he was considered just reaching adulthood, I think.
Yes, because he's younger than what Bilbo was during The Hobbit. But he's not so far off that it seemed ridiculous.
Right.
Because hobbits take a long time to mature, too. They talk about that at some point. Man, we got deep into the nerd on this one.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. It's nice to be able to completely spread our legs like that. Stretch our legs.
Yeah. I think that's probably.
Can I lay? Can I lay? No.
Yes. Is that what she says when you spread your legs?
No! Yeah.
She's.
Whoa! Why would she speak about herself at
you and
Angel? What?
Huh?
We're on the pecking order? Is that what you just said?
No, that's not what I said.
Okay, final thoughts, people.
Yes. I think on that note.
Oh.
We need to go.
Yeah, so.
I don't know if we get final.
Yeah, yeah, actually, you know what? Yeah, we're done, I think.
I think that my final thought is I hope that mental image is not in my head the rest of the day.
Oh. I want it.
Don't look at me like that.
That's a creepier mental image has subplaced it.
Oh.
Man. This is where we go.
All
right. See you next week.
Yeah.
Goodbye,
same folks. Bat time, same bat channel. Check us out, ComicC2, OutrightGeekery.com, ComicC2.com. Check us out in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.